Welcome to the Warmaster Podcast, episode 16, with Paul and Barry.
Hello, and today's title is Going Deep on the Battle Report.
Alright, so we're going to try something. It's always good to be inventive and creative, so we're going to try and do a battle report, reporting live.
Yeah, and I guess if you like what you listen to and you think it worked, let us know. And we can try it again. And if you didn't like it, let us know, and I guess we'll like test and adjust.
Test and adjust. Yeah. Right. First thing you have to do is big up our sponsors, KR. They make some lovely boxes and cases and foams and stuff. And yeah, they sponsor us and they sponsor our events. So thanks to them.
If you've got to travel with your army, use KR.
So what have you been up to, Paul? You've been busy, boy.
Yeah, so my enforced break is over. So since recording last, I've come back from my shooting team camp with the army. So nothing like hobby-wise, but that was the enforced break.
You didn't get your own room to paint in then?
No, basically I went there with the intention, okay, so we'll be shooting all day and then in the evenings there'll be nothing to do and I'll be slope off to the officer's mess and find a corner and paint up my Dogs of War / Empire army. Well, it didn't happen that way. Like Lid Camp, the place the shooting was on, it's just barren. There's nothing there. There's nobody in it. And it, so we're all sharing in the same rooms. So basically I was in a 10-man room. Obviously no privacy.
So you just have little
beds, just a beds. It's like
cabinet.
Yeah,
like a wardrobe. That's
it. That's it. Yeah, literally. The thing is, I'm not being snobbish, but you know, as I'm an officer, it's like I was in amongst the men, and it's like, and it just was wrong. Because I was like, well, but then the British Army has segregation for a reason. It's just like... It's
so
like,
they don't kill you in your sleep?
Well, yeah, basically. I mean, like, they don't want to say... It's not like living with your teacher, is it? Like, or something. So anyway, so I was like, well, that's kind of scuppered my plans. But then I managed to talk the guard room into opening up a classroom for me to do... Yeah, so I could say, generally do some, like, work, you know, like MS work. But actually, I just went in there and painted in the evening. So I got some done. It wasn't a complete disaster. But to be honest, I completely was overambitious anyway of what I'd taken. And I took far too much than I would ever possibly paint. Because I worked out my colour code for the army. And it's going to take me a while to do. But I'm committed now. Because once you've started down the route, you can't change your techniques. So it's a Mittelheim force with lots of lovely blues.
Blue, hey, who'd have thought?
I'll tell you why it's themed. It's because I have some Knights of the White Wolf and some Teutonic Guard.
No, you always paint blue.
I'm good at blue. And I've taken inspiration straight out of a book called Uniforms and Heraldry of the Empire. So yeah, it's I've matched the colours pretty closely, and that's an Oldhammer source book they did. The Skaven one's lovely as well. And yeah, so that's what I'm going for. And I've drawn up my side of the 1500 point doubles match that we're gonna go to on the 30th of April. And so I'm committed to painting that. Basically, that is on my table. And as much as I get sidetracked building other things, it's like I'm making every time I do a hobby session, I'm sitting there until I've finished a base or something of the Empire. So you notice I've done the characters already because they're quick. Basically. But yeah, it's fine. I mean, at some point, if I get it all done, I might go back and touch up the blues, like highlight them. But at the end of the day, these are 10mm models and it's not entirely necessary. You can spend a lot of time to not achieve much difference.
Yes.
So, that is what I've been doing. I haven't played any games. No, tell a lie. I played one thing. I played a Game of Thrones Risk version, which obviously I know Risk being a fan, and this Game of Thrones port was really good, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I played Star Wars Risk, I played Basic Risk, mm-hmm. but you reckon that was good?
Yeah, well, it's just because the world, in the classic Risk, the world doesn't make a great map of Risk, because like Australia is a bit OP. And you can like it's not a well designed because it's real.
Now
the Game of Thrones map makes a much better playing table, like territories, than the real world does.
Right.
It's the same game. It's just got an interesting finish in that you have your army cards. Like when you get a card, you get to trade in. At the bottom half of the deck is Valar Morghulis, and when that's revealed, that ends the game immediately.
Right.
So yeah,
it's a hard timing.
Yeah, it's a much better version of Risk, even though it's two simple changes. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. What have I been doing? Well, the kids have been off for Easter, so that's a kick in the groin for the hobby. But I managed to build a table, which this is on.
Yep.
Which is, we've got an 8x4
table now. Lovely.
Yeah. Well, and I've also got a 6x4 Citadel gaming mat, which turns out not to be 6x4, which turns out to be 120x180.
Yeah, but times to move forward, and you want to get yourself a fat mat from Frontline.
So I finally got a table to put this on, and it doesn't fit. It's like, you can see bare wood around the edges, which is fantastic. Well done, Citadel. Another success. So I'm going to Salute on Saturday. I'll probably try and pick up a 6x4 game.
Oh, yeah, you'll find, yeah, there'll be buckets. I mean, are we speaking about Salute? Yeah, let's talk about Salute now. Basically, me and Barry are going to be, this links into the other big news, non-War Machine, is that me and Barry are going to be demoing at Salute War Machine.
What are you going to be demoing for?
What
are you going to be getting marked to?
Well, it's got to be marked. Well, that's okay. So those.
I'm not going to bother. I'm just going to say, well, let's have a chat. There's no point in me teaching you this.
Well,
there isn't any point in me teaching you this.
It's a bit random, isn't it? Basically, we've gotten a gig to demo for a company that, you know, like a local company, War Machine. And we've got a very nice, sweet deal. Thanks very much. But War Machine, as of 2 days ago,
Monday night.
Yeah. Because this is Wednesday the 13th. Obviously, he's having a Mark III version dropping at the end of June. So that kind of invalidates anything Mark II, because it might not be the same.
Oh, it won't be the same. Well, stuff might be the same, but it's not guaranteed.
Well, you don't know. That's the thing.
What's like, crap, it won't be crap, and what's good won't be good.
Well, you don't know. That's the thing.
Last time.
So anyway, so it's a bit random, because like, what am I going to tell people? So I've got some eager kids saying, teach me War Machine. And I was like, there's kind of no point.
The whole gig is to say, I'll give you a demo game.
Yeah.
Here's a two-player starter box. If you buy this, we give you extra stuff free.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can't really, in good conscience, sell you this two-player starter box, because there's a new one coming out in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, true. And
with new rules and new everything. New models.
Yeah. There's certainly no point buying a rule book, is there?
No.
Yeah. So it's a bit random. Anyway.
Hey, but the game's good, so I'll still have plenty of fun talking to people about the game, and there's some good deals.
Yeah,
and blah, 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 blah.
We're getting well rewarded for
it. Yeah, but the demo games will be very random. Because now, once you've announced a new edition, there's very little incentive for people to play.
Yeah, I mean,
there's no point working towards the tournament.
Because I have a couple of War Machine tournaments from now until then, including the Welsh Masters, which will be a bit strange, because it'll be like the last, you know, it doesn't
last hurrah.
Like, you'll try to do well, but ultimately, the whole thing's going to change, you know, a lot.
Massively. By their words.
Sound.
Measuring for a start.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I listened to their prime cast about it, and, you know, effectively the game's pre-measured at the moment, isn't it?
No.
Well, it is, really.
Well, it's not.
But, I mean, it, yeah,
it's not when you've got
it should be pre-measure. It should be.
It will stop a lot, as a press ganger, stroke rules arbiter. Yeah, the biggest problems you have is where somebody declares a charge, moves the charge, and then was out of range, but moved in. And now what do? I can't rewind. Yeah. I don't know where they were.
Exactly.
That'll rule out all
that. In that game system, there's already measurements for like control areas. So
and command radius.
Yeah, so it's strange that there is some and there isn't. I mean, the game is not about trigonometry.
It was for me.
Yeah, but that's the same. It's like, that shouldn't be a skill for the game, should it?
No, it's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like in a certain GW game where you had auto-hitting cannons, effectively, didn't you? Because you didn't roll. You said, I'm putting my cannonball there.
You just say 10 inches from the back. Yeah, because then that gives you the most odds of hitting. And if the base was out to 8 inches long, anything but a misfire hits it.
Right, there you go.
Mm-hmm. So it won't be like that. Cannons. And sometimes 2+ with the re-roll cannons.
Sounds brilliant. Pre-measuring, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I think that the thing that is the future. This game's pre-measured. This was one of the early pre-measures.
Yeah, no, I mean, you listen to the Prime cast.
The War Master, I'm on about.
So War Master is. But like, you listen to this Prime cast about like episode 30. They do about War Machine, and it's clear that they are. It's not something they haven't done. Like, they've done it 3-4 years development. It's all in-house, so they've probably missed some areas.
Yeah, they're not slowing coming forward in a row.
What I'm saying is that they're moving with the times, and that there is no other game out there that isn't pre-measure. But the only negative, I would say, like a little aside, is that they're going to release a new rule book, and they're going to obviously digital is free, but the hard copy is going to charge something. Now,
well, full rule books can be free, like Prime and Primal.
I think so, but the thing is I'd rather, I don't know, it just, I will buy it, obviously, because I would rather have a hard rule book, because it's when it's something I've got to read and learn, but ultimately, it seems a bit strange, yeah, it's a little annoying that you're going to have to buy it. And yeah, when Battlefront,
well, this is the fourth rule book.
So when Battlefront did Flames of War, they gave it away for free.
Well, they gave us mini rule books.
And I'd expected that from Privacy Press. I'd expected an A5 version of the rule book for free.
Maybe they were
And Battlefront did it on a trade-in. You traded in your old rule book and you got a free new one.
Mini one. But that's a one-off, because you can't now take back that mini one and get.
That was literally a promotion they did, but it allowed everyone who had invested in the game to carry on playing it. Now, obviously,
well, that was a commercial decision to keep you in the game.
Yes, so I think that's what Privacy Press should have done.
Okay. Well, if this is the fourth incarnation of the rulebook.
Yeah.
So they had Prime, and then they had a remix, and then they had Mark 2.
Yeah. So anyway, we're not talking about War Machine.
No, we're not. But we have. But we're not. I also played a game. I got a win with Ogres. It turns out the guy that I was trying to pronounce the name of is actually Bell, who's like a famous figure within the Warm Master communities, Mr. Paul the Fox, I believe. He recommended the Ogre List, and the Ogre List got a win. So thank you, Mr. Bell.
Was that luck or was that design?
Okay, so I'm a bit gung-ho in general. I like to play offensive armies, and I think Ogres may not suit my style in that I try to be too aggressive with them. And what happened was I failed a ton of command rolls. Like, there was a couple of turns where I did nothing. Like, so I've only got three characters. All three of them failed, two turns running.
Oh dear. That means you're a defensive army.
So yeah, my pants are hanging down, I'm not moving, and the Bretonians are all over me. But that actually worked in my favour, because now they're overextended, and with the Ogres have got a really good counterpunch.
Yeah.
Like really good.
Yeah.
So, and the guy, Phil, who the Bretonian player, set up the terrain, he set up a crazy church with a million walls around it. So that kind of plays to the Ogres' advantage.
That's good for me.
Not so good for the knights.
So
and then the game came down to my Rhinox Riders being charged by three units of knights and winning the fight.
Dice-wise, should they?
It's close. He had no characters to put in. They'd all gone earlier.
Yeah, they're all gone earlier. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was just a little bit of a spike. The four wounds per base helps.
Yeah. Keeps him hidden longer, doesn't it? Mm-hmm.
And the way he had to charge in helped, like the nearest to the nearest.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't quite get everybody in. There was like a couple of stands he couldn't fit in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Well, that's good. That's good. So moving forward is like, are you gonna stick playing more games of Ogres?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. It's also inspired me to play the other army that I haven't got a win with yet. That's all.
As we're coming on to.
One thing it did bring up was I was talking to Rodders, and he was talking about an analogy with Breakpoint and rerolls in Blood Bowl. He's saying that people get hung up on having lots of rerolls.
So they get hung up on a Breakpoint.
Big Breakpoints, lots of rerolls. And I think I only really play with two rerolls in Blood Bowl, unless it's a really crappy
two
team.
Two or three.
Three maximum. Mm-hmm. Whereas back in the day, you'd be kind of like, oh, four.
But you're taking two or three regardless of the team. Like, even if...
Well, even play Wood Elves maybe lower than that.
No.
Maybe one.
Rerolls. You man-mark Wood Elves off.
Oh, yeah, you do. Of course you do. Yeah. But anyway, so we're not talking Blood Bowl, aren't we?
Yeah.
But what that taught me is that having an army with a breakpoint of seven felt rough.
Yeah. But there's no...
Well, it wasn't... There was no chaff.
Yeah, but there's no way for it not to be with Ogres, is there, really?
No, but if you protect the Nobblers...
Yeah.
They've got to really work to kill that stuff.
Yeah.
There's no, like, running around taking off 30-point units.
No.
As long as you protect them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, maybe when we are too precious about breakpoints. But saying that, I've got breakpoint 11 today.
Yeah, well...
And you've got 10.
I've got 10, and I'd like mine to be higher, to be honest. But, like,
We can't have everything.
Mm.
Can't have everything. Right, so...
We're speaking of when you mentioned armies there. I have now received in the mail a Vampire Count army.
That's very nice.
Yeah, it's very nice. And I've put in an order for my own Bretonian army. So we shall... Yeah, I might own a Bretonian army at some point in the future.
Wow. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. And what am I working on? Still working on Nippon really slowly. what have I got? High Elves have been painted by the RID machine. Yep.
The RID machine.
You've got some pictures online. He does a fantastic job. I'm going to do the basing because that's something I can actually do.
Something I will just say for our future event, because we're obviously the next one is we're going attending is we're not running. But when we come up to Bunker Warmaster 2 in July 2nd, hopefully I'll have a range of painted armies done, and that'll be something I'll offer to like players if they want, like certainly like down our club, but I really I'd offer it to anybody. Is that, oh, do you want to use one of my armies? You know, you know, just you don't even if you don't know how to play, like here's an army to use with an army list for the day. So that's my intention.
I've also got Tomb Kings burning in the background.
Yep.
And hopefully if today goes well, maybe I'll even do orcs. I'll do Polar Fox orcs though.
Yeah, because they're gorgeous models.
Yeah. I might have to find some other stuff to fill out the range because I'm not sure it covers all the bases.
I don't know, but
it's very nice. Mm-hmm. So, well done, you. So we're going to talk a bit about the battle report now. So it's going to get a little bit...
Let's set out how we're going to do it.
Right, okay, fair enough. So what my plan was in my brain... Paul doesn't know the inner workings yet of all of this. But we're going to read out the army list. Paul's going to talk about why he built his list the way he did. I'm going to do the same. Then we're going to deploy. And we'll talk about the deployment as we deploy. And then we're going to go turn by turn. So say it's Paul, turn one. He'll say at the beginning of his turn.
What I intend to do.
We'll take a picture. Here's what he intends to do. And then at the end of the turn, we'll take some pictures. What actually happened. And then we'll do that for each turn until either the clock ends the game or the normal break. Things ends the game.
Yeah.
Normal stuff. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. And because obviously you listen to this as a podcast, so is the medium of a battle report suitable as a podcast? In like the chain attack ones I listen to, I kind of like can't follow what's going on. So we'll keep it, I guess we'll try to keep it as clear as we can be.
Yeah, but you may need to look at the pictures at some point.
Well, yeah, true. I mean, yeah.
But we'll try and make it, you don't need pictures, because I know I don't look at pictures when I'm listening to podcasts.
No, neither do I.
So. Mm-hmm. No point trying to... So we'll... I've got a lot of editing to do after this, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
We're recording it sequentially, so hopefully... yeah, we'll see. We're trying something here, so bear with us on it, I would say. Okay, so Paul's army list. I'm using a Dogs of War army, and a list that I have used before, because I still... just want more practice with like something of everything in the Dogs of War army list, so then I could, I don't know, theoretically drill down and maybe build a better list, like where I go for one particular choice. So to read it off, what I'm using is 4 pikemen, 4 crossbowmen, 1 ogres, 1 dwarves, 1 marauders, 2 light cavalry, 2 knights, 2 galloper guns, 1 tusker, 1 birdman. I've got a general, a hero, and a griffin with a sword of fate, a paymaster, unique character with a pay wagon, 2 wizards, one of them's holding the ring of magic. My breakpoint is 10 out of 19 units, and my scout value is going to be 10 from the Griffin, the Birdman, and the 2 units of Light Cav. So why have I built this the way I've built it? As I say, I wanted something of everything out of the list, because that is my flavour to do so. Good point is it's got variation. It's very toolbox. I've got something of everything. I've got something for everything in a sense. I've got heavy infantry. I've got some cavalry. I've got a terror-causing character. I've got some interesting units to use. It's fun to use. Negatives is its breakpoint is a little too low for me personally. I think that
you might have to start playing undead.
Well, I'm just saying because it's like it's breakpoint 10 and there's a lot of squishy units in there.
That's true.
So I like with practice, I might decide dwarves are where it's at and go for a lot more dwarves, for example,
or less dwarves,
or whatever. Yeah. But I'm just as an example. So it's also. Dogs of War at 1500 points is my side of our alliance because Dogs of War being neutral can be allied to pretty much everything.
Yeah.
This 2000 points list is an expansion on the 3000 on the 1500 points, which has min max selection rounded down. So and I won't talk about the 1500, but it fits into this 2000 points. So this game is as much about trying to beat Barry and go against the grain, but also to practice with the army for a future event.
So my orc list, I'm choosing orcs because I haven't got a win with orcs, and I'm not saying I'm not going to get a win necessarily because I'm playing Paul.
Got to sound like a cockney.
I ain't no cockney. But I like orcs. I play them in fantasy, but they're hard work in all systems to play. In fantasy worlds, anyway.
Have they ever dominated anything? As in don't know, maybe Ninth Age right now?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
But who knows?
Maybe.
Ninth Age.
I haven't played it.
Yeah.
So I've got 4 Orc Warriors, which is the minimum. 4 Goblins, minimum. 2 Ogres, because they're cheap and good. Yeah, cheaper than in the Ogre list. 4 Boar Riders, 4 Wolf Riders, 1 Giant, because I had fun with him. I'm going to try and use him better. 2 Rock Lovers. This is the one thing that I wouldn't normally take, but I think maybe give them a try. I don't like the fact they're only one base.
Monsters are.
Yeah, well, okay. We've got a general, obviously, 2 heroes, 1 shaman, 2 goblin shamans. Oh, sorry, 1 orc shaman, 2 goblin shamans. We've got a wyvern and a sword of might on one of the heroes. So we've got 21 units, breakpoint 11. Why am I playing these? Because I want to try and get a win with them. What am I scared of? I'm scared of the fact Paul's got a ring of magic. If I'm not going to have a ring of magic, I'd like to have a dispel scroll.
Ah, there we go.
Because that ring of magic, as soon as he knows I don't have a dispel scroll, that's an order going in my flank.
I've got a ring of magic with wizards that have a movement order. So it's, like I say, like that's a good combo.
Yeah, having I agree. Control.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's got a spell that allows him to have an order. That's going to mean that something's going to hit where I don't want it to hit, and there's not much I can do about it. So we'll just have to suck that one up when it comes in the game.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to roll for...
We'll
I need my scouting value. Oh, my scouting value is going to be garbage. I'm only going to commit my guy on the Wyvern, so it'll be 3.
Just a quick description of the battlefield before we start then. We've got a fairly symmetrical battlefield. A couple of hills dotted around, some woods and some water and some impassable terrain by the looks of it.
So yeah, that's that blocks line of sight. This blocks line of sight where you can see.
We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 bits of scenery on the table. They're all about...
15 centimeters
long, so they're also and they're spaced out to make open areas around the table. So it's a very nice table that you'd expect to play at any event, really.
Okay. So we did the roll for kickoff. Paul had a 10 and rolled
a 4, so my total was 14.
And I had 3, so I needed a
double 6.
So I rolled a double 6, obviously.
Yeah.
So I deployed my orc hero on a weapon.
It was a token effort at scouting.
He did a good job from high up, and now I'll pass the turn to Paul.
Yep, so I'm on the clock, and I am going to be setting up my army. Okay, so I've just set up my army. What I've decided to do is, I kind of expected to win that scouting role, but but didn't. So I've decided to set up with a idea, be a conservative first couple of turns. In a sense, basically, I've kept my cavalry back in back centre so they can go left or right depending on what I just think, or split up depending on what I think's right to do. I've looked at the scenery where I can take advantage of defended positions because I have some missile troops. So, like, I've got a unit on the crossbowmen here who'll take a wood, another unit here will take a hill. Because I have quite a few characters with movement spells as well, I've spread my army out quite a bit. So, I've got pikemen, my best attacking force is in the centre, is my 4 block of pikemen in dead centre. So basically, I've set up to react to Barry's. Hopefully, his bad orc command won't mean he'll get too adventurous on you know, 2. I wouldn't expect him to get 3 orders strung together. So there you go.
Hope. And used 5 minutes ish.
Yeah, 5 minutes played.
So 1-10. Okay. Okay, so Barry's deployment. I've tried some new strategies. Putting the giant on the left-hand side on a flank on his own.
Nope.
That's something I've learned. Don't put him in the middle of your lines. We've got interesting... Our 2 combat brigades, my 2 combat brigades, are built differently to normal. I've got Night Goblins on the front, Ogres in the middle, Night Goblins on the front and line, Ogres in column in the middle, and then flanked by Warriors. That's to prevent the Ogres charging.
Ah, okay. Well, so they can't see the humans.
They've got blinkers on.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of Night Goblins at the back doing nothing, hiding. We've got Boar Riders with Wolf Riders in the middle. So we've got all in line. We've got 2 brigades. We've got Boar Riders, Wolf Riders, Boar Riders, and then in the next brigade, Boar Riders, Wolf Riders, Boar Riders. So now it's all very funky, isn't it? And this is down to Jim Beach tactic. We've got my 2 Rock Lobbers flanked by 2 units of Wolf Riders.
Okay, yeah.
So that provides six shots.
Yeah, all right, okay, I get it.
Because even if you flank charge them, they'll still get to shoot you.
Yeah, of course.
All right, interesting. Good, they are good. Right, so, and that's me, and I took 4 minutes, which is about as quick as I ever go.
Yeah.
So now we're going to roll for kickoff, and then we will be back.
I get a six.
Oh, happy day, sir.
I will take the first turn.
Okay, best of luck.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Paul's turn one. What am I going to try to do? So Barry's set up. Of course, I wish I could speak in code here because I'm just giving away my tactics
to
Barry.
Have to do a bit of that.
But like, okay, so Barry's gone for centre to his right, while I've gone across the entire table, and he's got his, I would say, his strongest force is his all his mounted cavalry in two brigades with a hill then to their left, which has all the artillery on it. Now, that's going to be their strongest position. They're facing off against my left flank here. So I need to wrap around him. I need to commit stuff to get into his left hand, my right, pushing on up while holding the centre. So I'm going to try to stretch my lines in this sense here rather than deploy. I'm not going to send the left forward at all because they'll get chewed up by that that stuff. Unless I can dash some ogres into a wood there, that might be a tactic. We'll see what the dice give me. So, end of Paul's first turn. Electric first turn. My God. People haven't seen these kind of manoeuvres. Okay, so basically, I failed every order. In failing at the Tusker's order, because he acts like a giant, he ended up stumping towards Barry's centre anyway, which is kind of...
Not completely wrong.
Basically, I achieved one dice roll in that entire lot of my general ordering the pikemen not as far forward now as I wanted to, since there's nothing of the army wants to go with them. So basically, I might as well have given Barry the first turn.
you failed four orders.
Yes.
And then the general made one order and then failed.
Yes. So, over to you, Barry.
Okay, so my turn one. What am I going to do? Well, Paul didn't really achieve a lot in his turn. So my aim... Thanks a lot, sir. My aim will be try and get my artillery into position to shoot at something which is not particularly likely.
Two orders,
and that's two orc orders.
So. Yeah.
So that's six at best. Maybe not. So what I'm going to try and achieve is to move up everything one order. Just get everything in position. Don't push anything too far. Because, we're likely to fail.
What could go wrong?
So we'll try and move everything up one order at a time, and that'll be it. So, end of Barry's turn one. We have a successful turn for Orcs, which is good. Well done, them. So, the hero on the right managed to order both his brigades of cavalry, and then ordered the Rock Lobbers and Wolf Riders twice, and the Night Goblins. So they all got into a nice position. The hero in the middle ordered one brigade. I left it to the wizard to try and order the giant, which did nothing. He just stayed where he was. And then the general failed his order, as these generals want to. And then we shot... Oh, we've still got a try back to do.
Yep.
There you go. So mm-hmm. See, you get a five, so... that looks straight back, though.
Straight back.
So the Rock Lobbers shot at the brigade of pikemen and hit the middle unit for a drive back of five.
Luckily, I didn't lose a casualty there. I should have.
Yeah. But the Geroff's spell, which is... I need to find room for that fourth wizard, because this spell's bonkers. So I pushed a unit of his gallop guns off, and I pushed a unit of his ogres off the board.
Who aren't dead, but they're off the table.
So they will come back,
yeah.
But it's just... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just messes around with his battle plans for the next turn. So everything else is fine. Everybody's in position. The giant's behind the line, as always... where he doesn't want to be, but it's only a couple of orders to get him back where he needs to be. So, good first turn for me, and I'll pass it over to Paul.
Okay, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. Okay, so Paul's turn two. So, problems. Barry's artillery are going to hurt me, because this Wolf Rider setup is quite nice, actually. I was doing the maths in my head of my birdmen taking on, and I might not even take a Rock Lobber because they've got three hits each as well on the charge. So that's not good. And he's outdistancing me. Now, if I had my own cannons, it wouldn't be so much of a problem. But I don't. So I'm trying in my head. I'm trying to work out how I can do something about that. Taking one rock globber away would be fine, but two is a bit of a problem. Also, here on my left flank, there's this wood that's in front of all his mounted stuff. Now, if I could get some infantry into there, that would give him a minus one command penalty, which is something he can't do about, because he won't be able to get into that wood. And anything that gives orcs a minus one command penalty is going to be really nice, because they have the worst command going. So my flyers could always fly behind his army just to mess them up for a turn as a delaying action, if I need to. Plus, I can't do much about the wizards at the moment with all these Geroffs. That is just part and parcel of when you're playing an Orc and Goblin army, unless I was, you know, like pushing them into units and then attacking those units. So what I intend to do is consolidate my position. I'll see how many orders I can get off, really. Hopefully I can get more than the one I made first turn. And we'll go from there. So I'm probably not, unless I get really lucky with orders, I'm probably not going to get an attack in this turn. Okay, so end of Paul's turn two. Quite a good one. Managed to get quite a lot of orders off that turn. And so that's not too bad. I've set up on my right here, I've set up some crossbowmen in a defender position because they'll be like a whole break point if nothing else. I've also got some in the centre, I've got some crossbowmen onto a hill. And the most biggest move of the turn was on my left here. I've moved the unit, I've managed to get three orders off on a single unit of crossbowmen, put them into a wood against where they are within 20 of Barry's cavalry. So he can't attack me and he's going to suffer a minus one command penalty for moving his mounted stuff around, which is giving me time, basically. And then, so I was, again, setting up for future turns. I've got my Tusker over forward on like on the right here as well. My lines are a little broken up because of these spells that, you know, these kind of Geroffs and stuff. But I also have brought my cavalry, three of my units of cavalry into the centre here to counterpunch Barry, seeing what he does. So not quite really taking the initiative as I'd like to, but that was not a bad turn by any standards.
So Barry, start of turn two. Paul had a reasonable turn there. I mean, the Geroffs really are very good. I mean, it's really annoyed him having to keep characters behind to order his augurs and his gallopers. So that's good. That's good. I'm also still fearful of the fact he's got this instant order spell that's going to mess with me at some point. So I have to try and protect my flanks as well as I can. He's also put some annoying douchebags in a wood next to my cavalry to make them order on a seven now. So they'll only be getting one order each if I'm lucky. And yeah, so it's interesting. We'll see what we can do. We're going to try and pull off some shenanigans with the rock lobbers because he wants me to shoot pikemen. I don't want to shoot pikemen. So I'm going to try and use some blinker manoeuvre to kind of screen off those pikemen and make the next visible target not the pikemen. But we will see what happens. And the giant, hopefully, is going to go and eat that Tusker elephant, but if he does, he'll probably get shot by the gallop guns. So we'll see what happens. Okay, so it's the end of turn two. I'm 51 minutes, Paul's on an hour, so he's not used much at all. But so that turn, typical orc turn, absolutely nothing happened. Failed loads of orders. The guys in the woods made sure that none of my stuff on the right flank moved. My general failed his orders, so none of the stuff in the middle moved. What exciting stuff happened? The giant had two orders and then a six, which is a super power boost. So he ran in a net pikeman unit and then another pikeman unit and confused.
Got badly hurt in the return.
He did get badly hurt. So now he stood in front of the whole of his centre, his meaty centre, with only four wounds. So he's got to go with his turn, but he's done a little bit of damage. That's good. Paul's shenanigans with the crossbowmen preventing my rock lobbers shooting who they wanted to shoot kind of worked, so I had to push them back with a Geroff, which then allowed me to shoot the guys. So I pushed his cavalry back, but did nothing else.
Yep.
They just pushed back eight with no confusion.
Lucky, yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting. He's still got his Tusker threatening my flank, and he's still got his instant order. Okay, so that's it. By giant. But I got two units of the ten.
Yeah.
And I'm about to lose one. 2-0.
Okay, so Paul's turn three. Right, so this giant's going to be dealt with. And I think I'm going to do this on initiative, you know, because he's badly hurt. So once I've taken care of that, I can like reform my line again. I still have the problem. I haven't thought up a winning answer to these rock lobbers yet, but they are out of range at the moment, at least. So I've got to consider what to do there. yeah, it's going to be, it's hard stringing an attack. I'm finding it a little hard to string a concentrated attack against here, but at least I can take the giant down probably for no loss, which is nice, because I think that would tip, you know, like, at least I need to answer his two. So we'll see what I can do this turn. Okay, so end of turn three. So that went a bit more flexible with that turn over what would happen. Basically, I managed to push my cavalry forward and my Tusker, and I made my roll, so they didn't even need that ring of magic, pocket ring of magic, to get forward again. So I sent them forward, the Tusker and my two units of cavalry, into one block of orc infantry, and another unit of cavalry took on the rock lobbers. Killed the rock lobbers, which is great. So that's taken away the ranged advantage. And I've done some. I've done two units of a unit before here. So what's the score now, Barry, for me?
It's what you got. One, two, and two for the three, four, five, six.
Six plays three at the moment. And also, what was? Well, I mean, in that turn, the classic Warmaster turn is that my dice dictated my turn in a sense. I originally just wanted to move my cavalry forward for another turn. I was like, well, I might as well push them forward. And then
in typical cavalry fashion.
Typical cavalry is like, let's go.
And they eat the centre.
Yeah, and they've done, what's important is they've taken out the rock lobbers, because you were outranging me, and that was not good. So, yeah, let's see what Barry can do on the return. I mean, not you.
Right, game three. Round three. My ogres are going to initiative charge, because that's what they're going to have to do. I'm going to chuck in my orc warriors who have been dinged up, and a unit of nine goblins into his knights. Knights of the White Wolf. And the math says that I should kill them. I need to push them a centimetre because they're going to be hitting the front and the back simultaneously. So that should be good. And then the pricks in the wood. I'm going to annoy my cavalry. Don't put your cavalry near a wood, because you end up not using them. And while Paul's cavalry's raped the middle of mine. Lines, my cavalry have done nothing. My six units. So we will.
Because there's crossbowmen in the woods, that's why.
They're scared. He's still got his character on the griffin, he's still got his instant.
Ring of magic,
instant order, and I have one, two, three, I've only got five left to give. So it's going to be interesting. Orcs are doing what they normally do to me. Kind of highlighting my players. But anyway, onwards and upwards. Okay, so end of turn three for me. Got 41 minutes left. I'm ahead of Paul. This never happens. He's got 38 left. We managed to finally get an order off on a unit of boar riders over by the wood with the crossbowmen in it, and they picked up the orc hero, and then they managed to smash the knights and the pistoliers, or whatever they're called in this list, and also the little sandwich we made in the middle of night goblins and warriors managed to win by one and kill the other knight. So I think, have you got any knights left now?
No, just a unit of light cavalry left.
One unit of light cavalry. And the score is 6-6. So it's pretty exciting stuff. I'm going to pass over to Paul on turn four, so it's 6-6. Yeah, we'll see. I've got cavalry left. You don't.
Leave it recording. I'll go straight into
okay.
it. So, my start of my turn four. My cavalry sadly all died, but they had achieved something. So now I'm left with, this shows like the toolbox here of Dogs of War, is that I've lost most of my cavalry. I've only got one unit of cavalry left, while Barry still has all of his. But I have taken out his artillery now, yeah, with that forlorn cavalry charge. So I can start out distancing him. So I can basically stall a bit now and hopefully attrition off a few units with some artillery pieces playing over some time. So basically reorganise my lines. This unit of crosswomen in the woods on the left is doing a fantastic job of stalling
whole
of Barry's, like, just from being there, they are doing fantastic. So I need to be careful. And Barry's also got a couple of wounded units as well. I doubt he'll try to order them again with terrible orc leadership. So this is good. I'm a little down on time, but that's okay, because I can play quite quick when I have to. Okay, let's do it. Okay, so end of turn four, hot and cold, basically. That was a cold turn.
All right,
didn't get many orders off, but equally I haven't overexposed something through a failed order. I've got on the left, I've got the ogres into the wood. They're going to need another order to get to the edge of the wood. That could be really cool.
That's going to be really annoying.
See what Barry does about that. But yeah, basically, I tried to reorganise my centre, didn't get far, but I'm not in a bad position either. So no combat this turn. Yeah, and that was that.
Okay, so we're in that kind of tipping point in the game now. So it's turn four, my beginning of. It's time to decide how much I'm willing to commit to try and win. Because my cavalry now is within a couple of orders of getting in. So that really is, it's only an 8 and a 7 even for orcs. So that's not something you should be afraid of doing. But
it wouldn't get any better, would it?
Well, no, it's never going to get any better. It's certainly not by Ogre Wood, as it's now becoming known. Well, it's a 7 and a 6 is just horse poo, isn't it? So what we'll attempt to do is pull our guys away from that wood, which we tried to do last turn and failed, and then stupidly reorganise somewhere back near the wood. But we still get two away, I think. So we'll get the two away on an 8, hopefully, and then we'll decide whether or not to go after the squishy centre of his army. We could probably get to the pikemen, or the birds, or the crossbowmen. The birds are not good, they'll just fly off. The pikemen, so the crossbowmen may be an interesting target, or it's probably the pikemen, but then it'll leave my guys exposed to his cannons, which is kind of what he's trying to entice me to do.
Yeah.
So the alternative is to come over and try and take on these on his right, on Paul's left flank, hit the crossbowmen, and then I think there might be dwarves behind
them,
annoyingly. But if we can get the dwarves in the flank, that's not good for them.
No, sir, Bob.
But the trigonometry might not work to get in their flank. So it'll be interesting. We'll see what we'll do. The dice will dictate as ever because it's two orders. So end of turn four. General finally did his first order game.
He only
did the one though. He rolled on an 8 and then he obviously failed 7. One order of game's enough for him. We had a blunder which made us run away from the wood with our cavalry, which is good. So now 30 centimetres away, so you may come out and try and annoy us more. We did go gung-ho after the pikemen, but the pikemen really spiked. They had 6 attacks, hit with 6.
Yep.
Did 5 wounds.
Yep.
That's from me charging them. I did 1 million attacks back and won the attack the round by 2. And then followed on, cleaned them up, but I had 2 wounds on me and only 2 stands left, so I had to back away from the combat. So now I've got my orc here on a wyvern with 2 boar boys behind his line, but potentially going to get killed this turn. But I'll pass over to Paul.
Yep. So keep it recording. So my turn 5. So my priority is to deal with this 2 stand unit of orc boys that have gotten behind me that have a wyvern. If I knock that out, that'll level the scores back to... It's 7-6 to Barry at the moment. That'll level the scores, but also take away one of his important heroes, because orcs are going to struggle for command.
Really? I've noticed that.
That's the priority. So I've already got 1 unit of cannons can see anyway from that position. So if I can turn that other unit, that should be very tasty. And then it'll be hopefully bring it 7-7 to me, unless I can get these ogres to come out of Ogre Wood and like lead a charge against some juicy unit of goblin wolf riders.
Not yet.
So let's see what happens.
War riders, so I just don't want to make sure.
Hello. So end of my turn 5. I managed to achieve it. I basically put everything I could into shooting that unit of boars to make sure it happened, and they actually fell over on the cannons alone. So that's good because I've leveled it to 7-7 and taken one of Barry's combat hero. I've still got mine yet to commit.
That's true.
So that's taken away the terror buff as well. So all to play for going forward into Barry's turn 5, I believe.
Okay, so turn 5, I've got to look for 3 threshold teams.
3, yeah.
So it's going to rely on my cavalry. It always comes down to cavalry. I've got 5 left. I've got
what was
6
your break
left.
Point? Yeah, your break point was 11, isn't it? And I've taken 7. So 4.
Yeah, so
I'm looking for 4.
Yeah, he's looking for 4. I've got 6 units of cavalry left. Paul's got 1. I've lost my hero, but that was a risk I took then when the dice spiked by the pikemen. That was the end of the hero, realistically. So we're going to try and pick off some. We might not get all 3, but we're looking for 2 this turn, if possible. So we will see what we can do. As always, it will rely on leadership, and now it's going to rely more than likely on my general, who's done knob all game. He's going to have to do something in this turn, otherwise it's going to go away from us. We can't afford to lose any of our 2 command heroes left. We've got a hero in general, can't afford to lose them there. Okay, so bottom of turn 5, literally nothing that turn. We got a Geroth on a unit of cannons to push them back. we're going to get dinged up a little bit, but now we've got to get into him, because eventually these cannons are going to get involved. I'm betting they're going to fail. So the only thing that happened in their whole turn was my general pushed some stuff up into the centre. We got some boys away from Ogre Wood, which I'll show you in here on the picture. And we got one Ger off. And that is literally it. And over to Paul, turn six.
So, my turn six. Luckily, Barry failed his order in on a five, because that would have been bad. I need to deal now with these Boar Riders, because that's the biggest threat to me at the moment, because the other cavalry is quite out of position. So, let's see what I can do. I can see some sneaky manoeuvres coming up, but basically, I haven't got a lot of troops facing off against those cavalry, so I need to also bring in my unit of crossbowmen, dwarves, and marauders into play, and like as well, to face off against probably maybe the end fight, which might be Barry's intact infantry brigade as well. So let's see what I can do. Okay, so end of my turn six. Not too bad. My shooting took off two stands of the Boar Riders. That's good.
Birdmen
went for a target opportunity in Ogres, and they took a stand down, and I was tempted to carry on, but I thought I needed to get back up, try and save the unit, like, wholly, because I'd taken a wound and I didn't want to lose my own stands. And I managed to get a hex off on some closest support. So, yeah, it's still good, still 7-7. And going into Barry's turn, you're going to roll straight?
Yeah, so basically, my Ogres are going to have to charge the Birdmen that flew away. So that now allows me, with one order, to hopefully put some Goblin Riders behind his Birdmen, and then catch his Birdmen by doing, what's that, 8 attacks in the front of your Birdmen.
Be less, because you'll be terrified.
Yeah, that is with terrified.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be doing 3, 5
well, yeah,
back.
Yeah, I mean, it depends.
And then if you lose by one,
depends how much. Well, you push back the units. It depends how many stands I lose. Oh, yeah. Anyway, what else are you thinking?
Yeah, we're thinking about swallowing those up. We've got some confusion. You dinged up my Boar Riders. You pig. Because now I've only got one more unit of Boar Riders left, and they're way out of position. So I'm going to have to rely on Goblin Riders to do something, anything, kill something. So it's going to be, it's getting awkward now, because my stuff's getting dinged up. I've got one big combat brigade, but the juicy target for them is now on a hill, so that's not really an option. So it's going to be interesting. We've only got about 20 minutes each, so this might actually go to time, this one. Mm-hmm. Especially if I start playing defensively.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah. So, bottom of turn 5.
But turn 6.
Oh, to bottom of turn 6, jeez. So we went a bit gung-ho. We managed to get his pistolier things, whatever they are. We didn't manage to get his Birdmen. He survived with one stand left. So we took one off. We could have had 2, so I think the score is 8-7.
Yes, so you've got 8.
Like I said, so he needs 4, I need 2, but I'm very exposed this turn, so yep. There's the potential for the 4 to go quite quickly. So okay. We'll see.
So going into my turn 7, straight up. Okay, so yeah, I'm after 4 units, so I'm going to counter with these held back
pikemen.
I'm then going to be able to shoot at the second rank, because they'll be fighting them, and fire some more here. Over in the centre, I'm just out of initiative range there. Those ogres, just out of initiative range. So if I get some orders off and potentials, so I don't think I'm going to win this turn, but I don't know what position I'm going to leave Barry at either. So still a lot to play for. Let's see what happens. Yeah. Okay, so end of Paul's turn 7. So my combat with the pikemen, well, first of all, my shooting worked quite nicely, killing the ogres and really breaking up the brigade. Then the pikemen attacked the old goblins in front of it, killed the goblins, advanced into a second unit of orcs and took them. So I scored 2. So I've scored 9 units, Barry's scored 8. We both are looking for 2 each. And it's going into Barry's turn 7. I would have been good if I got the general to roll his order, with my infantry reserve, I've packed together infantry brigade. Didn't happen, but at least I've gotten the ogres now out of Ogre Wood, because they can start initiative charging if Barry doesn't do something about it. So, Barry, over to you. Do you want to go straight away?
Oh, yeah. So
Barry's turn 7.
I need 2, which means that it's probably now or never. Because my not that I've not got nothing left, it's just my lines are severely stretched and I don't have much command ability left. So what I'd be looking to do is, he's got a unit of pikemen with his terrifying gibbera on top? Are we looking to charge them with something? Although they're quite narrow faced, so you're not going to get much in, and they've got a lot of damage back. So we could get the crossbowmen, probably. Probably do enough to push them and kill them. But then, how do we get these pirates? We'll get one this turn, but can we get two? We need two. If I had our flyers, the two would be easy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I had any decent shooting, the two would be easy because I could kill that bird on his own. But we will see what we can do. Okay, not much happened that turn, to be fair. Typical orcs did nothing apart from they moved one. He went on initiative. The only things that went in, we had an initiative flee and two initiative charges. We killed the crossbowman in the right flank.
Puts me up to nine.
I'm on. Was that eight? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, yeah. So there's definitely two for Paul to get quite quickly. So it may go quite quickly. Oh, I'm still on the clock. Well, I'll make sure. So I'll pass over to Paul.
Straight up. My turn 8. Jesus. I need 2 to win. I can't attack the on the right now. Orcs are in the woods, and I'm probably never going to get an order again. So it's like switch fire, and it's going to be over to dealing with these cavalry units if I can. Initiative charging of the ogres definite. It's whether the general can pass an order on this infantry brigade to get them in working. I moved them within 20. We go. Okay, so I end of turn 8. I managed to do it. I won the game. My cannons fired into the one stand of boars that was left and got the 3 wounds necessary. And I managed to attack these wolf riders, pincering them between, in a big line between ogres and dwarves. So dwarves were fighting wolf riders, ogres were fighting boar riders. I did the dwarves first. They managed to do enough wounds to kill with pushing them into a fight where they can't go, the wolf riders. So that ended the game as me winning
11-9.
And I finished with 6 minutes and 20 seconds left. And we had played 8 turns. I mean, for a go at like recording a battle report, this was epic. I think that's the biggest, as in like certainly the most amount of turns we played.
I don't know, there was a nip on Empire.
Fantastic.
This was comparable.
It was a little disjointed because we were recording it like the times, but we are very unlikely to record one that will go as long as that. Surely not.
No. So it was a good game. 11-9. Excellent stuff. Right, welcome back to the post-match analysis. Congratulations, Paul.
Thank you.
Smashing those orcs.
It's not often a win, but if you can thump the easiest army in the game, then I'll take it.
I don't know how easy. Oh, they are a headache, orcs.
I see your problems.
I can promise you that from about turn 1 onwards, I didn't enjoy the experience. The fact that you can just never rely on them to do anything ever.
Yeah, apart from
on initiative.
We've spoken about them, and that is their quintessential issue.
And to combat that issue, you suddenly have to reduce your army down in size by taking... And then you'd probably roll an 11 on that item, and then it'd be gone for 100 points.
But no, it's a shiny toy.
Very well, you used your advanced leadership skills.
I think
being human and stuff.
I think the only... honest mistake I made was the birdmen committing to go against the ogres maybe wasn't the right thing, or maybe backing them off. I don't know. It didn't. With hindsight, they're really weak, that unit of flyers, and it's like, what do they fight?
I like them.
Anyway, but I was really happy was the wood. The crossbow unit in the wood and the unit in the wood on the left flank for me was fantastic.
Well, the fact that it up my cavalry for 4
shut
turns.
Out everything.
It took 6 units of cavalry, 4 turns to get away from them.
Yeah, and they're just standing there, invulnerable. Just like, it doesn't matter. It's just here. We're in this.
And the fact that when the galloper guns, they are a big priority.
Yeah.
I kept them at bay, but turn 6 when they got involved, they really start doing work.
Yeah. Which is just that shorter range for 20 centimetre move is not so bad. It's only 10 centimetres off what regular cannons would be able to move and fire.
The same range as like your high elf bolt throwers.
Yeah.
And they can keep pace with infantry.
Yeah.
And they can get to the flank and they can do maximum damage and stuff.
Yeah,
I like them a lot. I think they're very strong.
Mm-hmm. So, lucky me. Pleased with that as an army, and it's all good practice. For the doubles, which will go in, and hopefully play on, maybe if it works the timings, we're playing, that's what I'd like to play on Friday against Alex.
I don't really, I still don't know what the timings are for that. I know when you're there.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I don't know when they're there.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we manage to get a game or two in of something, Warmaster Ancients or doubles or yeah, whatever, then exactly. We do. But maybe not. So that'll probably be our episode. I've got no idea how long it's going to run because it's over 32 segments. When I stitch it all together, yeah, it'll be summing.
Yeah, there should be any editing, just putting them in order.
So it'll either be half an hour, I don't know. I don't know. Like a long time doing it. I won't be doing this too often.
No.
Unless it's very good.
But we'll see what it plays back as, what the feedback is, and it's an occasional thing to do, isn't it? Our core episode is looking at an army.
I wouldn't have liked to have done it after no sleep, like you.
Yeah, well, I'm a legend.
Legend. That's true. Right, so we've got upcoming events. You know them. They're coming up. 30th of April, we're playing in doubles.
Yep.
And then Paul's event in the end of July.
It'd be good to record something at that event, shouldn't it? Yeah,
I'll try.
Yeah, it'd be good if we could.
Okay. I'm not promising. Contact details, Facebook page, or the warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com email address. And that was it. That was Warmaster episode 16 with Paul and Barry.
Thanks for listening.
Have a good evening. Apply some pressure, you lose some pressure, apply some